Thomas is,
Name not recorded. Has joined the conference.
Thomas is going to chair the call today. Thomas, I suggest we wait another 1 or 2 minutes for some people to join us and then...
Dave, van den Ende.
Has joined the conference.
Okay. Thomas, would you like to start?
Okay. Welcome, everyone, to today's call. We have quite a packed agenda, so we'll jump right into it. We have three papers. The first one, ITCG review, the IFRS taxonomies for SMEs. So I'll turn that over to Bartek.
Thank you, Tom.
What we wanted to do is quickly update you on developments with regard to the IFRS taxonomy for SMEs, which you have been reviewing recently. And also, we wanted to explain one of the main modeling decisions we made for this update, which is the modeling for investment property, mainly due to the fact that we've been asked some questions about it, and we know that the model is different than the model we have in place for full IFRS. So first, the general information. The timeline, as you might remember, your review period ended a week ago. But what I wanted to point out here is that the publication of the amendments by the EASB was on the 21st of May, and we have been able to publish and to release to you the taxonomy update 5 days later.
Have joined the conference.
So that was
Have joined the conference.
That was something like a test for us. We wanted to see how quick we potentially can be. Obviously, the amendments to IFRS for SMEs were not that huge. So, you know, in comparison to, say, leases or insurance, the number of days might be longer. But we managed to release it to you 5 days after the actual standard was published, which we think is quite an accomplishment. In terms of the content, there are about 90 new elements. And we've amended quite a lot of labels and documentation labels. That was done partly because of the update and partly because of the corrections that we needed to make. When we split the IFRS for SMEs and full IFRS taxonomies in 2014, we tried to already change the labels and the definitions of the elements that were different or were supposed to be different. However, this time using the update to SMEs, we really went element by element and changed all the labels that needed to be changed or corrected. We have received two comment letters from the ITCG members. I'm not sure if that means that the others haven't reviewed it or just simply thought as the two commenters that commented that there is really nothing to comment on. So we haven't received any comments asking us to change or correct anything. Therefore, the taxonomy that you will see being published probably today, hopefully today, will be exactly the same as the taxonomy that
has joined the conference
that you have received from us. And very quickly to the issue about not really an issue, more to a description of what we did for investment property. You might know that the IFRS for SMEs approaches investment property slightly differently. In full IFRS, there's one standard for all investment property. In IFRS for SMEs, investment property is kind of split between two standards, between two sections. One is the section 16 on investment property at fair value. And the other part of the investment property, so investment property at cost, was included in the property, plant and equipment section, so which is section 17. And now it will stay there in terms of recognition and measurement. So it will be still recognized with the same rules as for property, plant and equipment. However, there is a new requirement to separately present and disclose information about that investment property. Previously, it was a class of property plan equipment. Now it's a separate presentation disclosure. And you can see some screenshots. That screenshot shows you that there is even a requirement to separately show on the face of the financial statement, so not only disclosing the node, but also in the primary financial statement, in the balance.
Has joined the conference.
In the balance sheet, you are required to present two separate lines for investment property at cost and for investment property at fair value. As a consequence,
name not recorded has left the conference.
As a consequence, we have retained the mapping we did for investment property at fair value because there were no changes here. So you will see that reconciliation in a separate ELR. However, we've changed the modeling for investment property at cost. As you can see now, it's one of the classes on the classes of property plan equipment axis. It will remain there until 2017 when the amendments are effective, but we've already created a separate reconciliation for investment property at cost less accumulated depreciation and impairment. And those blue marked lines, they are the same elements as the elements on the balance sheet, also on the statement of financial position. So there is a clear link from the reconciliation to the statement of financial position. And just for comparison, a screenshot of the full IFRS where you can see that the whole investment property is put together. It's regulated by one and the same standard, so IS40. And the difference between measurement at cost and fair value is provided in by means of an axis. However, the investment property is one line, so both at cost and at fair value are totaled and they form one line on the balance sheet. So that's the main reason why we have decided to model full IFRS and IFRS for SMEs separately. We haven't received any negative comments from you, so we understand that is okay. We just wanted to clarify our reasons for having a different modeling. So obviously,
this is Michael.
Yep, go ahead.
Is it okay to ask questions now, or shall we?
Yeah, that was what I was getting at. If you have any further questions, you can do them. Well, you can ask them at the moment. If you want to, or you prefer to send us a comment letter, also the comment period for the changes to IFRS for SMEs, well, for the taxonomy update, will last.
Name not recorded. Has joined the conference.
Will last until 17th of August, so also you can feel free to do that, your choice.
Okay, if I may, I just want to ask a question which may not necessarily be a topic for a comment letter, but more for discussion in this particular group. The question is whether for the future as well, based on this example of investment property at cost, are we considering to move more towards compound descriptions of the element names, which include a number of these different properties that were previously, for instance, modeled as dimensions? Or is it a general trend that we are considering? Because it looks to me that then we will go back, so to say, with the modeling of the taxonomy to the way how it used to be modeled, whereas I personally see that more taxonomies are differentiating these, let's call them, business properties, so to say, on the dimensions. And to just my personal opinion, but I believe that the way how it was modeled before was still satisfying this requirement to provide separate presentation, because the model allowed for a separate presentation and of course encouraged it through the use of the dimension.
Have left the conference.
The question is, are we in general considering such an approach like the one proposed for the new modeling of investment property as something that will be used for other cases as well, or shall we maybe consider a broader view where these dimensions are still allowing or satisfying the requirement, and we continue with the modeling based on dimensions? This is just an open question to the group.
I mean, from our perspective, there is definitely no change in approach. We approach each case individually.
Name not recorded. Have joined the conference.
And we have no intention either to, you know, flatten out the taxonomy or to go fully dimensional. We treat that case by case. In this particular case, we've taken into account the fact that, first of all, there are two different sections, so you can compare them to two different standards in IFRS that relate to investment.
Name not recorded has joined the conference.
To investment property. So in a sense, you can compare it to, say, property, plant, equipment, and intangible assets. That might be also a property of being tangible or intangible. However, we have never considered putting that on an axis, as there are two different standards. And also now, there are two different lines, so two different line items on the balance sheet. And as you know, we are following the modeling whereby the balance sheet or the primary financial statements are not dimensionalized. Therefore, to have the direct link, we use the same line items on the balance sheet as well as in the reconciliation. But I don't think it's a step back. Well, I don't think it's a step at all in any direction. I think it's just a modeling that is most applicable in this situation, in this single situation. We don't have any policy regarding that.
I don't disagree.
Okay. Go ahead.
Sorry, I just wanted to say that I don't disagree with what you said. I think that I'm looking at it from maybe someone from the software vendors could also comment on that, because looking at it the way how it used to be modeled before, investment property at cost less accumulated depreciation and impairment as a member was, let's call it, one z-axis, or, you know, table tabs which could be flicked on the interface of inputting the values. It was the same as classes of vehicles or land and buildings, etc. Now there is this, I believe that we still have this property, plant, and equipment at the beginning of period for vehicles and for land and buildings and so on.
Yes, but technically, accounting-wise, Michał, there was an accounting change. Investment property at cost was treated in the accounting standard as a class of property, plant, equipment. Now the standard has changed, and they have said, no, it's not a class of property, plant, equipment at all. It's a standalone thing.
I see. Okay.
So that was the reason why we had to take the member out. What we could have thought was, you know, do we move that member now into section 16 and try to still model investment property as a whole, divided by members or by means of an axis into fair value and cost. But as I said, two different standards, two different requirements, separate requirements on the face, and we just didn't think there was enough merit into merging that. It's still covered by Section 17, property, plant, equipment. It's just clearly now stated that it's not a class of property.
One question, Marty.
Yeah, go ahead.
The changes are becoming consistent with the full IFRS, right?
Yes, in a sense of it not being part of property, plant, equipment, obviously yes. But
But
it went farther than full IFRS, because full IFRS treats the whole investment property as a as one big accounting concept, while here we clearly split the two types of investment property.
So we are going back to the default taxonomy of a full IFRS by changing this. So for IFRS for SMEs, we have been having a kind of some simplification for SMEs, but now that was changed. So it's maybe, as you just described, this is a kind of a back to the some kind of a original taxonomy.
In a sense, yeah. In that sense, yes. Although the modeling is slightly different still because it's two different sections of the IFRS for SMEs. But the movement out of property, plant, equipment is clearly a move towards the full IFRS conceptual. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Do we have any more questions on the first paper? Any more comments?
And again,
no?
Feel free to comment.
Thank you, Bartek.
Feel free to comment until the 17th of August. You know, those the Michal's comment is a very good one. So if you have more of that sort, please do use the 2 months and comment on that. Thank you.
Okay. Yes. Yes. We do encourage you to comment. And as noted, it's through the 17th. So thank you, Bartek. We'll move on now to the second paper, Regulator's Guide to Using the IFRS Taxonomy. Andy?
Yeah. Okay, so this is to update you, to let you know where what we've done with this guide since you last saw it and where it's going next. We received, when you last saw the guide, we received various pieces of feedback from ITCG members, mainly around the areas of the level of technical detail, although those comments were a little contradictory in that we received comments that suggested that the document might need to be more technical, but also that it would be good if it was less technical. I think this is partly the difficulty of aiming anything at a large organization, which may well have a range of different job roles interested in the information that we're looking at here. There was also an indication we might want more high-level information on the adoption process and the benefits of adoption. So that's things like the actual legal adoption process itself, the overall business benefits, and that kind of thing. There were also some structural comments about the way the document order had been put together, and obviously language and various other corrections. So what we did with all that was obviously we've been through and restructured some areas of the document. It's actually been through a couple of iterations since then, but it now seems to make a reasonable amount of sense in the order that it's in, and we removed some titling of some sections and changed that. We've added sections to include information on the additional introduction to the document to make it clear what it's aiming to cover. On the update and release schedule for the IFRS taxonomy, and a few hints and areas for ways that regulators can interact with that. And also a section looking at entity-specific extensions, as well as a bit more of a mention of regulator extensions. More high-level information on the adoptions and benefits. Obviously, we know we need that information somewhere. But at the moment, we're thinking that what we want to do with that is cover it in a shorter, more high-level document, something a bit like the IFRS snapshots, for those who are familiar with our snapshot documents. And then that can be a very short reference for people who just literally want to pick up the high-level information on the basic stuff for how to adopt. And the guide is the more detailed information for what to then do with it, because otherwise I think the basic high-level information on why you want to adopt and what to adopt was going to get a bit lost in a large document. Also, that information was covered in the Tokyo workshop, and it's intended to be covered in future workshops so that the regulators workshops that we're aiming to run cover both the literal content of the guide plus any other useful information, especially as the plan for those workshops is that we have slide modules so we can split the day into high-level business information and more technical details so that different people can attend different sections of the workshop. So the current status of that document is that we published the first version on the 2nd of June. It was released alongside that first workshop held in Tokyo, so that was the first of our IFRS taxonomy regulator workshops. We're hoping to run more of those in different regions. Actually, this is a good point to say that if anybody on the ITCG knows of events coming up that we could run alongside, in particular regions that you would be interested in a workshop, then please do let us know. If you want to know more about that workshop and the release, then I've given a link in the slides here to the press release, the press announcement for the release of the guide. And that also includes a link to the introductory speech, which was given by one of our board members, TAC, and various other bits of information there. Now, the plan for this document is it's basically considered a living document. So obviously, because bits and pieces of best practice will change, we'll learn more about them. We may want to make improvements based on feedback from regulators and that kind of thing. The aim for this document isn't that it just sits there cast in stone. So If you've got any further feedback and comments from ITCG, then they're still very welcome. I know we said that we would bring the document back to you before publication, but we kind of ran out of time a bit there. But because it is living, if you do have feedback and things you think we need to change and fix, or you've got any comments from your experience with regulators, those are still welcome. And obviously, they'll be considered, and we'll look at what we can do for going into the next version of the document as we get that feedback. We're also working on additional documents of some kind or another for looking at the handling of entity-specific extensions in detail. There's kind of a very high-level summary section present as part of the regulator's guide. And we, as you know, we have a project to look at that in a lot more detail. And also the previously mentioned adoption snapshot, which will cover those benefits, why you should adopt the IFRS taxonomy, what you might want to consider at a high level, the legal adoption processes, and that kind of thing. So that was just a quick update. If you've got any questions or comments at this stage, then do feel free to mention them now. If not, also feel free to email me, or in fact, any of us. I'm sure it could be passed on.
Okay. Does anyone have a question? No. I actually have a question. Andy, is your impression that the regulators are taking the IFRS taxonomy and extending it, or are they taking the IFRS taxonomy and what I would call modifying it, you know, using it as a basis to basically create their own standalone taxonomy?
Well, we're doing the profile project at the moment. One of the other things that was has been released recently is the first of the IFRS electronic filing profiles. If you go to that press release, it'll also mention them. We don't have a full number of those back in yet, so it's quite hard to draw proper conclusions, especially as we effectively biased our own sample by starting with areas that we knew had taxonomy developments. But one of the things that we've noticed is that it's actually quite inconsistent how people, not inconsistent, but variable. We think the majority of people are creating extension taxonomies at the moment, but the idea of the standalone with associated taxonomies is, I think, something that some people are considering. But we'll know a lot more about exactly what the numbers are around that as the profile project goes on.
Do we communicate a preference around that? Would we rather have them extend it, or are we comfortable with them, you know, what I'm going to say is modifying it, which worries me a bit when they modify it because they can potentially change the structure substantially?
I don't think the modification you're thinking of is the one we would expect people to do. In general, we would not expect people to literally modify the physical files at all. In fact, we're, as part of the looking at the terms and conditions, we're going to prohibit that. That should not happen. However, the various modifications,
okay, for
different presentations and so on, we're perfectly happy with, because it depends very much on what the intended use of the taxonomy is. And we're still entirely happy for somebody to take 12 items and use them as the basis for a form-based system they want to use. Obviously, we're not so happy with that for full IFRS financial statements, because we don't think that's how they work. But if somebody wants to make use of the taxonomy like that so that they've got authoritative IFRS information, then that's fine.
Lewis Mathern
has joined the conference.
Okay. If no one else has any further questions on the second paper, then I'd like to thank Andy and move on to the third paper. It's proposed amendments to IS 7 IFRS taxonomy. This will be Richard and Rita presenting. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Okay, as you will know by now, the ISB issued for public comment the exposure draft disclosure initiative on the proposed amendments to IAS 7. This exposure draft also included two questions on the IFRS taxonomy, one relating to the content of the IFRS taxonomy and the other on the IFRS taxonomy due process trial. Now, I must mention that the purpose of this presentation is not to discuss the comments we have received, but rather to inform you of the current status and the next steps, and also to solicit any views you may have on the IFRS taxonomy due process proposals in light of the comments we have received. Okay. The comment period ended in April of this year, and we have analyzed the comments and we have summarized them in agenda paper 11A, which you will have seen, and this will be presented to the ISB at the June meeting. And based on the comments we received, we also decided to include two matters for the staff analysis. The first concerns the reconciliation for the components of financing activities, excluding equity. And this is detailed in agenda paper 11B, and this will be presented to the ISB at the June meeting. The second matter concerns cash restriction, and this will be presented to the ISB at the July meeting. Okay. In agenda paper 11B, you will notice that there are some suggestions from some respondents that the IFRS taxonomy update reflecting amendments to IAS 7 be supplemented with anticipated common practice elements. At the June meeting, the staff will recommend to the ISB that the IFRS taxonomy update reflecting amendments to IAS 7 does not incorporate anticipated common practice elements. And we will be undertaking further research and outreach on the benefits and potential, the benefits and risks of the potential inclusion of anticipated common practice within the IFRS taxonomy. And we will discuss this with you in greater detail at a future date.
Richard, could we understand the rationale for this recommendation?
No, are you referring to the anticipated common practice, I presume?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it was suggested by, I believe there are about five respondents who suggested that we consider including anticipated common practice elements in the reconciliation example. And currently, we have no established framework for identifying and including anticipated common practice elements in the IFRS taxonomy. So for that reason, we're going to suggest or propose to the board that we, for now, do not incorporate anticipated common practice elements.
It must also be said that, despite the fact that, as Tijana mentioned, five respondents suggested that, but we had about 11, if I'm not wrong, respondents who said that taxonomy should not include anticipated common practice. And they mainly stated that, the fact that we are not aware, we shouldn't be guessing, we shouldn't be interpreting the standards. So we had more respondents being against it than for it. It was close, but it was slightly more against it than for it. So that's also the reason for our recommendation.
Okay, very good.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, and as I previously mentioned, agenda paper 11A summarizes the responses that we have received on the IFRS taxonomy questions, including the question on the due process trial. And at this time, I'm going to hand over to Rita, who will speak a bit more about the due process trial.
Okay. Thank you very much, Richard. Like, we forwarded to you on Monday the agenda paper 11A, in which we provided a detailed summary of the feedback we received on the due process. Now, I'm not going to repeat here in this meeting what all was said in detail. I really assume that you have read this paper in advance of this meeting. But generally, I think what we can say is that really we succeeded in our efforts to solicit more feedback on the content of the IFRS taxonomy. As probably most of you are aware, in the past we have only received very few comment letters on public consultation, and sometimes we even receive no comment letters. By having a process where we align the consultation with the consultation of the standards, at least based on this trial, we seem to have succeeded in achieving more common. So that is very positive. However, it also needs to be said that some groups definitely did not comment on the taxonomy. Like, for instance, definitely we did not succeed very much in engaging still with preparers or investors. Now, it's not surprising because I think with the IFRS taxonomy, we have different kind of groups we try to target. I think we want to first understand if the IFRS taxonomy is an accurate reflection of the standards. I think having an answer to this question is probably you're going to engage more with accounting policy and standard setters rather than with user. Then there is a question, okay, does the IFRS taxonomy reflect reporting practice? So does it reflect common practice that is emerging? I think at that time, you probably are going to engage more with investors and preparers rather than with policymakers. And then, of course, many preparers also stated in their feedback that they did not comment yet because the taxonomy is not relevant yet to them because there's not that a huge amount of IFRS filings yet. However, despite our success of achieving contents on the content of the IFRS taxonomy, there were many respondents who stated as well that they did not agree with our proposals. Now, again, detailed feedback you'll find in the agenda paper. I just highlight a few areas on which they touched. Like, there were some that stated that by aligning the standard setting and the taxonomy process runs the risk of undermining a principle-based standard setting. Yeah, there were definitely some concerns about resources, that it may lead to some duplication of taxonomy resources and that it may delay standard setting. And then I think a third comment was as well that I felt, yes, it is good possibly to comment at the time an exposure draft is set, but definitely respondents also want to comment on the final taxonomy when the final standard is being published. Now, we just completed analysis of comments last week, so we are now starting to give some thought to what should we do next and how should we respond to the comments we received. Now, our next steps is really the plan to discuss this with the board in July, with our board advisors towards the end of June, also with ASEF in July, and also to discuss it really today with you as well. Then once we have had all the discussions, then during August and September, we formulate a proposal, a recommendation that we will put to the trustees in October. And then it's really the trustees who finally approve the recommendation of us to go ahead with an invitation to comment on the whole IFRS taxonomy due process. So I foresee probably a public consultation to 2 to 3 months. But again, that depends on what consultation period the trustees want to put on that. And then, so the consultation ending somewhere around end of January. So then next year, towards the end of first quarter, hopefully the trustees would then approve the final IFRS taxonomy due process. However, as I said, it's really very important that we still engage with all our consultative group, with the ISB, to try to come to the best solution, because it's not an easy topic. Because whatever we are going to do, this is a situation, there are going to be some costs and there are going to be some benefits. So it's really, what do you think is the best cost-benefit, and are there particular actions we can do to mitigate any drawbacks that could exist for a particular proposal? Now, we have been given that some thought, but at this moment in time, I'm not going to tell you what our thoughts are. Really, what's very important for us here is to understand what you think about it. You have seen the agenda paper which we forwarded. Hopefully, you have read some of the comment letters. So any thoughts, any consideration, any ideas to mitigate particular problems you have at this moment in time would be very welcome. Now, if you require some more time, I can understand that as well, but please then after this meeting even ask me to give you a ring to listen to what comments you may have, or send me an email. And with that, I really open it to questions and comments.
I would have a question, Matti, here. One comment and two questions, actually, if you allow. The comment, I think it's a great news. I think it's the first time, and it's really encouraging that it's raising the profile and popularizing the taxonomy as you receive the comment. Now, two questions related to this. The first question, from your experience right now reading this comment letter, this has been first time that the questions on ED were asked in the ED in relation to taxonomy. So any lessons learned or something, would you say, okay, for the next one, we have to do this slightly different to get the feedback in, let's say, better, smarter, whatsoever way? That's the first question. Second question, maybe I missed something, but can I assume that this will be the standard process for each and every ED coming out, if it has a relation to the taxonomy, that there will be a taxonomy section in it already?
Okay.
Just on these 12 EDs.
Okay. Regarding the latter question, at this moment in time, you cannot assume yet that this is the formal process we are going to follow. So it's really still a trial. We use this trial because board members also understood that there are both benefits and drawbacks of the proposal, and they wanted to try to gather some evidence of what's more important, the benefits or the cost, really. Also, even if after we have discussed it with the board in July, in the end, it's really DPOC who has oversight for our due process. So in the end, it's a due process DPOC who decides on the due process, of course, after considering the recommendation that the staff give together with the ISB and the consultative group. Now, as regards to the first question, Matti, Bartek,
As regards the first question, definitely, thanks to the fact that we have included the taxonomy questions in the ED, we received, I think, about 70 responses on the taxonomy. I wouldn't want to say that they were all on the content. Many of them were on the due process. So I think the due process question was the question that actually, you know, made people respond to the taxonomy. However, also some responded to the other questions, such as anticipated common practice or the general questions, you know, is the taxonomy okay? Are the labels representing the elements and so on? So we got about 20 comments on that, roughly. Which is about, you know, 10 times more than we usually get on the taxonomy. So definitely from our perspective, based on this one example or one case, we can say that it has improved our response rate significantly. I don't want to, you know, draw too far going conclusions based on just one example, but it seems that people do take more care and do look at the IFRS taxonomy more when it is included with the exposure draft.
Yeah. And also,
short question on the numbers. First, the 70 or 20, however you say it, already unprecedented. What is the grand total for the comment letters on IS7?
110, basically. So, you know, more than 50% included a taxonomy.
Took interest.
Yeah, included a taxonomy comment. So that's for us, that's a huge thing in comparison to you know what we have been receiving in the past.
Yeah, and also you have to take.
For yourself, of course, also for the feedback, I think, to the board, you know, over half of the commenters is taking active interest in addressing this issue. It's also quite a signal to the board, I would say.
Yeah, we will do that, and also, you know, the profile of those people is mostly standard setters, the big four. So, you know, I probably shouldn't say there are more important comments and less important comments, but the big organizations did take the time to comment on the taxonomy, which is a very positive sign too.
And also we have to think what kind of response and what kind of answers we want as regards the content of the IFRS taxonomy. Because at this moment in time, we are not considering anticipated common practice. We are not considering common practice. So we're really, the most important question we are asking here is really the IFRS taxonomy, an accurate reflection of the standards, really. Have we not done a misinterpretation of a standard, or have we not unintentionally provided additional guidance? And for instance, what I find really promising is that we got responses on that these particular questions specifically from the policy makers, like from the standard setters, who pointed out, in fact, that we had modeled one particular element wrongly, because we're modeling as a textual element instead of a monetary element. Or
I think they asked the question, what that element should be, than said it's wrong.
Yeah, but they questioned it, okay, by saying, look, by using this particular data model, did the standard mean this, really, or did we model it differently? And it's exactly this kind of responses we want to get at this stage. Now, when we're going to say, okay, is the IFRS taxonomy fit for reporting practice, so does it incorporate necessary common practice, etc., that's where I think you're going to engage with investors and preparers. It's also, I think, very promising to say that we have received, I forgot all the numbers, but nearly 70 out of 110, there were many preparers and users who said, look, at this moment in time, we are not commenting because it's not relevant to us yet. We have not yet experienced the IFRS taxonomy. And I think from the moment in the future the IFRS taxonomy is going to be more used by securities regulators, I can see as well that, in fact, preparers and investors will get more engaged in it. And we could even start asking different questions, like the board could consider questions from, okay, in our standard we may include lots of elements, and maybe some of the elements we can combine together in one text block, so you could ask different questions as well. And I think these are very promising things, yeah. Sorry.
Just one comment. This is Chung Ho. I'm not representing the whole board, but as one board member, after this kind of a good comment from all over the world, there seems to be a really positive benefits of this kind of exposure draft. But my concern is on the cost side. And there is some risk side. So based on our constituents gave us very good comments related to all these costs and risks in addition to benefits. So I would like to hear what the members of this consultative group think the risks, especially in the costs of all constituents to bear in making comments on our exposure draft on IFRS taxonomy, and also especially on technical side. I guess technical side, people in working technical area, they might have just have enjoy benefits rather than costs, right? So I don't know which part, which group are having more burden while we are doing this kind of thing in the exposure draft with our general IFRSs. That's what I would like to hear from you.
I would like to give you my view on this one. I believe very strongly, and having also been part of the ISB XBRLT for many years, I think there is much bigger effort, if I remember how we were stating comments on the full IFRS. There is way bigger effort to give comments on the full IFRS taxonomy, because you have to search what changed from last version, and you have a big annual to look at. And if I look at the ED, there are quite simple questions, couple of very simple structures, and this is just a couple of pages, if you wish, to have a look and respond to. I believe if you ask what is the cost to the commenters, the old due process or the existing due process, where once a year you ask for a huge thing to be reviewed from the functional perspective, or just on the ED side, a much smaller chunk, which is probably better described and the questions are way more specific. I would rather see the current approach with the ED commenting must be cheaper for the commenters. I cannot believe it's vice versa. I believe on the cost perspective, I think it's bigger cost for the board, for the ISB, because you have to provide it with every ED. So I think the cost on your side will be larger, because you have to still provide the yearly version and the version on the ED. But I believe to the commenters, the cost commenting on EDs must be way lower, because you do this in the smaller fashion and you don't have to start from scratch on the very big whole taxonomy every year. That's my perspective.
It's Kylie from EY. much agree with that. So the effort that required to respond to the EDs in isolation with very targeted questions, it's much easier to fit in than the one big annual assessment.
This is Dave van Ende from Deloitte. We have the same. We have one process to comment on the exposure drafts. And although we had some comments on the status of the exposure draft taxonomy in this, it is very helpful to have this discussion on the impact of the taxonomy in conjunction with the exposure draft is possible. So because it also really adds to the education and awareness of the value of the IFRS taxonomy as such. So rather than have an annual taxonomy and going and revisiting, say, the new reporting standards, it is we would prefer to have it at least the discussion during the exposure draft in some point of time. That doesn't mean that it is should be part of the exposure draft itself as being limiting influencing, say, the publication. But I think it's very good to have it included as an appendix to the exposure draft, at least to have the discussion within these organizations.
And I have a comment that it seemed that, and I did read the comments, that those groups that are involved with XBRL and very engaged with it were more the ones who said, yes, let's put the changes in the exposure draft. And those that aren't involved with XBRL were the ones that said, let's not put it in the exposure draft because it's not that important. We can review it later. I really believe that someday, don't know when that is, but someday the taxonomy changes will be in the exposure draft because more jurisdictions using it and it becomes more important to more people. So if we do go forward with it not being in the exposure draft, my question would be, when will we review it again to see whether that should be in the exposure draft or not? Because I think eventually it will. It's just a matter of time.
Can I ask you a question, Maciej, again? Was this just because you knew that there is another commenting period on the full one that you have this position? So just let me ask it quite differently. What if there would be no annual review in whatever one, which is always coming? Would your statement be the same? Because just to see, is it feasible to say, the taxonomy production is quite industrialized, the base is stable, we've done it for so many years already, and the ISB is never, asking for any comments on the red book, blue book, green book, whatsoever, the bound volume. Yeah, that's not necessary because there is, everybody's happy. I mean, everybody knows that this will be of the quality that the ED or the final standard was. So probably the legitimate question is when we will be touching on the general review process as to is the annual review necessary at all? If you had the review on the ED side, or on the ED stage.
I think, Maciej, at the moment we don't do annual reviews of the IFRS taxonomy anymore. So I think maybe the question you want to ask is, okay, if we do a taxonomy review or public consultation exposure draft, do we still need to do something at the final taxonomy for the final standard? Or is that the question you want to ask? Because I'm slightly confused, I'm sorry.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. So, if there is a review process for each ED, the comments are taken into account. The board and the team is making their choices. That's of course legitimate. With maybe some small consultation group, is there a need for another big review process or the full taxonomy, or can you just release it as you are doing with the bound volume today, as the ISB?
That's one of the areas we look at, I think. I think, fantastic.
I mean, I think the way we are looking at it, definitely there needs to be at least one review period. So the question is, is it better on the exposure draft or is it better on the final standard? We've established 2 years, well, year and a half ago, that we are not going to ask questions on the final, the annual taxonomy, because the annual taxonomy is nothing more than a compilation of the interim releases that were released during the year and the previous annual taxonomy. I definitely, from my perspective, I think there needs to be some kind of review on the final standard, but probably there is no need to have a review, you know, like a formal review asking questions. It might be in the form of just putting the taxonomy out there for, say, 2 weeks and, you know, letting people comment, also having some fatal flaw reviewers, anything like that. That's a possibility. But we haven't really come to any conclusions yet. It's too early to ask that question. We are analyzing the comments that we got. You know, it's 70 comments, out of which most is on the due process.
Yeah, I still think I would like, because this is a good point, and this is a point we personally are struggling with a little bit as well. It's like, yeah, definitely have received comments to say, look, there should still be some kind of comment period on the final taxonomy, because, and I would like to ask, what are your views on it? And
on the final interim release, you mean?
No, on the final.
Of the annual taxonomy, no.
No, not on the annual taxonomy, yeah. On the final.
Final update.
So on the final update. So when the final standard is released, when we then do the final taxonomy, should we still permit or allow or encourage or require, whatever we use it as wording, a taxonomy review for the final taxonomy which reflects the final standard? And if so, do you have any suggestions as to what we could do there? I would like to hear your views on that as well. Any views on that?
This is Tom. My view on this is it's essential that you do that. I think it's also essential, though, that we continue with this ED process. The ED provides the best opportunity for the digital reporting element of this to influence the standard setting. And I know that some people fear that, but I think it's not a case of where it's going to change the standard setting. It's just going to make it better and clearer. If there's ambiguity in the standard, perhaps it comes out into this modeling, and then that's a benefit to get this, the board to provide the clarity. And I think that has to be done at the exposure draft stage. Not, you know, it's very difficult to change the standard once it's issued and final. But also, for some of the naysayers that sent in comments who fear that this is going to destroy principle-based application of the standards, I don't have that fear. Essentially, when the standard's done, it is what it is, and this is just a tool in order to report it. But at the same time, we have to ensure that that tool is accurate and complete. So, I do admit, I mean, one of my frustrations is that oftentimes the exposure draft and the actual final standard are very, very different. And because of that, you don't really get a second shot to comment on the final standard in terms of it being a standard. But it would be good if we, and essential that we get that second shot to comment on the taxonomy.
Thank you, Doc.
I think, sorry, Susanna, from a preparer's point of view, obviously we're not sort of rushing at the moment, but I know some of the preparers have mentioned it in their responses, that the worry then is that you're doing a duplicative review in terms of, you know, if it's in the ED and you do a full review of how, you know, the taxonomy will look, and then it comes back out as a final standard, and then you're looking at it again as a secondary. You've got sort of duplicative work to sort of, you know, understand how the taxonomy is going to change and what it's going to look like, and that's what people are worried about in terms of the expense of the amount of work that has to be done in reviewing taxonomy. And I think that's where a lot of preparers may have come from in their comments, that they would almost like to have a finalized standard and be able to look at the taxonomy changes in relation to the final standard to sort of ensure that they don't have duplicative work there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also not sure about the comments just before, sort of from Tom. I was a bit confused by your two comments, because I almost think that, the taxonomy, you should be able to present what you have determined from the final standard, not the other way around, and that's what other people are worried of as well. I don't think the taxonomy should define what the final standard is looking like.
Hi, this is Lewis.
I'm not suggesting that. I'm suggesting that it creates the clarity.
Yeah, this is Lewis. I just wanted to say that, you know, our experience here at the FASB is that when we start doing our modeling earlier, it does inform the standard setting process. We frequently have questions for the standard setting team that gets them thinking about things that they had not considered. And, you know, we'll ask them very explicitly, what did they mean by such and such? And, it, you know, it helps them refine their process. Tom, you used the word influence. It's a nuanced difference. I like to say informs the process. But regardless, it's a very important part of what we do here, and it's becoming more integrated every day. So it definitely does make a difference, and the board is recognizing it, and, you know, and we continue to drive on it.
Just one comment, Tom, to your statement. What I was asking to be precise is if we need a public period of comment for the full taxonomy, and Tom, just, you know, we've been in this, you know, commenting period for now a decade, so not, I would not even count the taxonomy version. And my observation is, you know, I think over the time, the certain trust has been built, the processes are there, the systems are there, the taxonomy is properly tested. So I'm really struggling with every big taxonomy release to find something wrong there, right? To really have some substantial comments. And from the number of comments that we are receiving, you know, I'm afraid that, you know, that will be the reality, because if there is more and more stability, unless there will be major change in technology or major really change in the standard, is it necessary? On the other hand, you see this, you know, this huge difference suddenly, was Bartek said, you know, 10 times or 20-fold number of comments when we do this on the AD side. And this is, you know, striking me when I say, look, I mean, are we doing the right thing? I'm with you on the second chart. I understand the second chart. What I'm saying is, I'm not saying that we don't need any reviews or any testing or any consultation in a given way. I'm asking, do we really need this public consultation on this big beast, which is bringing from experience right now every year less and less comments? While right now the ED involvement, suddenly, you know, the comments exploded. So something is, you know, something is happening there. And I'm just asking, you know, is the due process right? That's the question I'm trying to, I don't have the answer on that, but I believe we should be dealing with this question over this year. You know, looking what is actually, you know, the cost benefit, of course, but also, you know, is it the right approach? And, you know, what is the second shot really, or how is it necessary? Is it necessary, you know, in a public way? Is it, you know, fine if there is a small reviewer group or whatsoever?
Yeah. Well, I think, like, was mentioned earlier, in that it really helps in getting clearer as how the exposure draft is being defined. I think one of the findings we had in looking at the exposure draft was something I would like to give to it in consideration is how the exposure draft of the taxonomy can be more clear to the accounting profession that is looking at this exposure draft. Because I think in terms of the way it is communicated now, the exposure draft was quite technical. And something like is published with the IFRS Illustrated, Taxonomy Illustrated, would help to indeed contribute to the understanding what the exposure draft means in accounting ways, in terms of and get a better understanding what the effect will be in the digital reporting world. So I think it will be very important when the exposure draft is included, or the change to the taxonomy is included in the exposure draft, that is that's considered, that you will have other reader community that will look at this information than the community that has currently been reviewing the IFRS taxonomy, which is more often more knowledgeable about XBRL than the broader community, I think. So I think that this is something I think to take into consideration.
I agree very much, Dave, and this is something already we thought about as well, because even if we thought our proposed taxonomy update is simple, it's still not simple enough, or still doesn't talk enough to our target audience. And I think this is definitely, although it will not influence as such the due process proposal, because the IVRES taxonomy, proposed IVRES taxonomy update is just a tool, really. Yeah, it's definitely something I was planning maybe even discuss at October face-to-face meeting, like as a group, can we come up with a better way to even clarify and to reach out more to the groups we are planning to reach out. I think I'm really sorry because we have to end now because I see some people who want need this room. However, I thank you very much already for all the comments we received. I really encourage you very much to give this further thought. This is really important for us. This is really important for the board, like Shungo already mentioned. And any comments you have and you want to send it by email or you want to have a call with me to discuss some of your ideas, please feel free to do so. Thank you very much.